Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey everybody, Mark here. This sidetrack's a bit different from other ones because I actually planned for it. We recorded this while we were doing our Incubus episode, but I was ready to roll with some stuff I wanted to play for Nicole. We're talking about some unusual instruments that occur in pop songs. And I'm making her rank them because they're not going to rank themselves. Can I sidetrack with you?
Yeah, let's go.
So we're talking about Incubus, how Brandon Boyd plays some different instruments. I just wanted to shout out some songs with unusual instruments. And I don't mean, oh, this song has a flute, this song has a cello. I mean instruments some people may not know the name of, or instruments that are really not often found in pop music, broadly speaking. So as much as these sidetracks are supposed to be about these spontaneous diversions that we end up separating into other episodes, I prepared for this one. This one required me to make sound samples, and it actually...
Listeners, you'll have to understand that we come into these recording sessions. Mark has like printed out notes that are like... have things written in bold and parentheticals.
Sometimes highlighting.
And I just have doodles on a page. I'm just scribbling doodles on a page as he talks.
And that's the dynamic that works. So what I want to do is I want to play a game with you.
Okay, I love it.
So I've got a bunch of songs. I've got a dozen or so songs, each with a different instrument that's being used in a pop song context.
Okay.
If this were video, we'd look at what these instruments look like, but it's not. You'll have to just imagine. What I want you to do, we're going to do a sort of tournament. You're going to eventually end up with a top 5 list. The way you're going to do this is basically just pit them head to head. So if you don't like the example that goes to the bottom, we don't need to rank. We're not going to rank the whole thing. But if the use of the didgeridoo is our number one choice or whatever, the next one has to compete against that. And we'll get our top 5 for you. What I'm asking you is not necessarily which instrument is the coolest, but which use of that instrument is cooler, right? Because there might be instruments that have inherent advantages or disadvantages in their coolness. It's not that. It's how does it used in the pop song.
It's like, what do I like most? Not like what instrument, what like application of
That's
the
right.
instrument.
Perfect. Okay. Right. So I mentioned the didgeridoo when we were talking about Incubus, but I'm going to use a cooler use, a more interesting use. So
is it rusted root?
No.
Oh.
We got more didgeridoo
I mean, they're
playing?
Big on the djembes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
I'll be quiet. I'm ready.
No. Don't be quiet. Okay. I want to hear your thoughts. So
right,
we're starting off with Kate Bush. Kate Bush, 1982, The Dreaming. So this song uses not only the didgeridoo, the Aboriginal wind instrument played by Rolf Harris, but it also uses the bull roarer. Do you know what the bull roarer is?
No.
It's, I think, originally a communication device of sorts, but it's used sometimes in music. It's this rope you spin around with a little wooden thing on the end, and it makes this woo, woo,
I know what that
sound.
Is, yeah.
And that's played by Patty Bush, which I think is her brother. Here, these instruments really matter because the song is protesting the destruction of Aboriginal lands in Australia.
Oh.
So not just a random new metal use
Way
of
to
the
go, Kate
didgeridoo.
Bush. Why did we not pay attention to her?
Until Stranger Things
Until
made
Stranger
her.
Things,
yeah.
Like,
she was
so
always
good.
She was always awesome, yeah. Huh. So
who knew?
So it creates this sort of haunting drone, right? The two of them together. That's the didgeridoo, but then there's this whoosh, whoosh, whoosh that's happening.
Is
that's
she
the
Australian?
Bull roarer. I think she's British.
Oh.
But she's using there's certainly Australian slang in that song. I mean, like, you can almost half understand what she's saying.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next example. So we've actually mentioned this instrument in our episode about pentatonic scales, which Miley Cyrus, the kalimba, the West African thumb piano. This is one of several songs, including one called Kalimba Story by Earth, Wind and Fire, that uses the kalimba, played by Maurice White, one of the lead vocalists of the band. This is Evil from 1973, one of their singles. So you hear that really fast.
I love it.
Warm, sort of mid-high range instrument. Yeah, it's a percussion instrument. Very cool.
That's moving to the top of my ranking.
Okay, perfect. That's what I was going to ask you. So Kalimba in Evil is our number one currently. Mm-hmm. All right. Next, the Beach Boys. Plenty of unusual instruments in the Brian Wilson mid and late 60s compositions. This is bass harmonica. Not one you hear very often. 1966's I Know There's an Answer, played by Tommy Morgan.
I hate it. Bottom of the list.
Bottom of the list. Okay, so I'm crossing that one. Well, you don't like the sound of it?
I don't like the sound of it. It's annoying to me.
Also in Fool on the Hill. Paul McCartney, Beatles, they've got it too.
I just don't think it adds value to the song in the way that the kalimba does to the Earth, Wind & Fire song.
Right. Is it behind the didgeridoo and bull roarer pairing?
This is the last on my list.
All right, next. Everything Counts by Depeche Mode, 1983. This one uses several instruments. So you're going to hear a marimba, mallet percussion instrument, which is not particularly weird. Mm-hmm. This is played by Alan Wilder from the band. But then there's a melodica. Remember, we talked in another episode about the Hooters, the band, named after the sound of a melodica. Melodica is like a handheld little keyboard thing that you blow into.
Yeah, they're fun.
This is played by Martin Gore, one of the members of Depeche Mode. And there's also a synth sham. A sham is like an old, almost medieval version of the oboe. But when they play it live, Andy Fletcher from the band plays an actual sham. So we don't really get to count the sham here, because it's a synthesizer in the recorded version. But the spirit of it is there. We've got marimba, synth sham, and melodica. Everything counts in large amounts.
For me, it's going in between the Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Kate Bush. This is my second best.
So current rankings, kalimba, marimba and melodica, didgeridoo and bull roarer, and bass harmonica is the last. Okay.
A distant fourth.
Moving on. We've got an ocarina. You know what an ocarina is?
Of course I do. Yeah. It's from The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Referred to in a previous episode as The Legends of Zelda.
Legends.
Yes. Ocarina, a little flute.
I love it.
It's like round
a do-do-do-do.
Flute with holes in it. Yep.
I actually have one.
You do have one. Mm-hmm. I do too, and I have no idea how to get it to sound good at all.
You just like mess around with it.
Yeah. Messing around didn't work for me. So this is played by the lead vocalist, Reg Presley, of the Trogs version of Wild Thing, of all things. 1966. Do you remember this song?
Yeah, like Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing.
Do you remember an ocarina solo in it?
No, but I'm here for it.
All right, where's it going in the rank?
Right up to the top.
Oh, that's your number one now?
Skyrocketing.
Okay.
Just because it's so unexpected.
So everything else just gets bumped.
Everything gets bumped.
We still only have five. Mm-hmm. So we've got our top five. I don't know what's going to survive. We've mentioned the Red Hot Chili Peppers a few times. A month or so ago, my brother sends me a text. Hey, did you ever notice there's a Jew's harp in Give It Away? And by the way, Harp is the name I like to give it. It's called the Jew's harp. And by the way, there's no explanation for why. It has nothing to do with the Jewish people. It's thought to come from Siberia or somewhere like that.
I love a jaw harp.
Jaw harp
is one of my
Jew's
favorite
harp. Yeah.
Like
it's
things.
This dang thing you hold between your
it's
teeth.
It's so cool.
Did you ever notice it in 1991's Give It Away?
What I got, you got to give it to your daughter. You do a little dancing and you drink a little water. What I got, you gotta
That boingy, boingy, boingy.
I did notice because when I saw them live, I was like, he's playing a jaw harp right now.
Wait, who was playing it?
They, Flea, I think.
Instead of playing the bass?
No, he like puts it, he does both, I think.
Oh, I don't know. You need two hands to play the
Oh, then maybe harp. I'm thinking of the thing that like, that Steve Miller, the thing that like, wah, 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 that, like,
yeah, that's a talk box you put in your mouth
for guitar. That's what I'm thinking.
The jaw harp or the Jew's harp is a little percussion instrument you put between your teeth and you go twang, 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 twang. Well, I've got one in a box over in the corner of the room. Also, didgeridoo.
Yeah, sure.
Also an ocarina. I've got a lot of instruments I don't know how to play.
No, I remember Flea had something in his mouth.
I'm not surprised.
Okay, well, now that it's not what I thought it was.
This is played by Pete Weiss in the actual performance. Where is it in the rankings? So right now, we've got Ocarina in Wild Thing at number one.
Mm-hmm.
Kalimba in Evil at number two. Marimba and Melodica and Everything Counts at number three. Didgeridoo and Bull Roarer in The Dreaming at number four. And then you made it clear you didn't like the bass harmonica.
I'm putting this in the number five spot.
Number five spot. So the number five spot is no longer Beach Boys. It is now Give It Away.
Just because I think it's like cool, but I don't think it adds anything to the song. Like it doesn't add like a wow factor to the song like the Ocarina does in Wild Thing.
It's
like
bouncy.
It just kind of adds something, like some texture, but it, you know.
All right, moving on. A lot more to do. So this is the musical saw. Do you know that you can play a saw, like a slightly modified saw with a bow, a violin bow?
Oh, that's cool.
And it creates a sort of kind of a weird sound,
spooky.
Right? This is 1998 Neutral Milk Hotel.
I love Neutral Milk Hotel.
Julian Coster, I think he's normally their bassist, plays this instrument on a number of their songs.
They're one of my favorite bands.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. We have never talked about them. This is the song In the Aeroplane Over the Sea.
Such a good song.
We've got, it sounds to me like two musical saws harmonizing.
And one day we will die and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now we are young.
I struck a chord with that. Good.
I
okay.
love it.
Where does the use of the musical saw fit?
I'm putting it in number one.
Okay. So you're not being biased by the fact that you like the song.
I am being biased, but I didn't know there were saws. Do you know there's a band called Neutral, you'll love this, Neutral Uke Hotel that covered that whole album just with ukuleles?
Wow. I did not know that.
I should check it out. It hits like a nice like Weird Al vibe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ironic use of ukulele. It's very like mid-2000s, that sounds to me. I'm guessing.
But it's good. It's like
Yeah. Okay.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
Celesta. Do you know what the celesta is?
No.
It's a little tiny piano that sounds kind of like bells.
Okay.
It's not a piano, but it's a keyboard instrument. 1957, Buddy Holly, Every Day. This is played by Norman Petty. Really famous song. Did you remember it has celesta?
Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
What do you got? What do you
think? I like it, but I don't love it. I'm going to put it in the number 3 spot.
Ooh.
And I'm bumping Earth, Wind, and Fire. Right.
Okay. So right now, the musical saw in the Aeroplane Over the Sea is number 1.
Mm-hmm.
The Ocarina in Wild Thing is number 2.
Yep.
The Celesta in Everyday is number 3.
Yep.
The Kalimba in Evil is number 4. And number 5 is the Marimba and the Melodica in Everything Counts.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere, folks. Almost done. Speaking of nu metal, which we're talking about in the episode we sidetracked from.
Nu metal. N-U.
Not nu metal music, but nu metal.
But like,
yeah.
This
is Chutes and Ladders by Korn from 1995. One of their first hits. This is the bagpipes, played by the vocalist Jonathan Davis. Of course, could have gone other directions, other artists. I decided to go with Korn.
You know, Mark, traditionally, I dislike bagpipes.
Okay.
I find them very dissonant as a sound.
There can be some dissonance,
and yeah. I don't like it. But I like it in this song. I think it softens Korn in a certain way. And like,
yeah.
It makes me think of, you know, I'm from Boston. I start thinking about like Boston vibes and like
some Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah. Like I just think of that. So I'm going to put this in the number 5 spot.
So bumping Depeche Mode.
Bumping Depeche Mode. I hate to do it because I like them as a band much better than Korn.
They're a superior band, right?
They're a superior
band.
Okay. But
all
I like the bagpipes there. I think it like adds a little bit of nuance to what I feel like is very flat from Korn.
Good for you, Korn. All right, we got 5 more.
Okay.
Let's see if these 5
more
are the top
okay.
5. I told you I prepared.
I know.
Okay,
I'm
this is
it.
The Appalachian Dulcimer, not to be confused with the Hammer Dulcimer.
Okay, I won't. Confuse.
This is a sort of harp-like instrument you have on your lap and you sort of pluck the strings.
Oh, yeah.
Played by the Rolling Stones, Brian Jones, in their song Lady Jane from 1966.
My sweet Lady Jane, when I see you again, your servant of...
This is not in my top 5, I'll
not
tell you
in the
that
top
much.
Five. Okay.
That's the best I can do. I'm losing track.
I think it's also not, no offense, Brian Jones, not elegantly played, really. I've seen live videos of them doing it better than it sounds in that recording.
It seems like gimmicky in a way that you don't need to be gimmicky, Rolling Stone. Like, you already made your money, right?
Fair enough. Okay, moving on. I'll tell you this name of the song first. It's called Hurdy Gurdy Man by Donovan, 1968. It does not include the instrument, the hurdy gurdy. It does include.
What is the, or it's a hurdy gurdy.
Oh, hold your thought. We'll talk about hurdy gurdy in the next song.
Okay.
It uses the tanpura, which is an Indian string instrument that's used for the drone. So it's not the sitar that's doing lead. It's usually used to like hold a long note. The song apparently is about musicians that were in a band called Hurdy Gurdy, so it's sort of about them, even though it uses this other instrument that's not a hurdy gurdy.
Then when the hurdy gurdy man came singing song,
I'm gonna pass. No.
You're gonna pass. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
not in the top 5. I think they're. I love that sound. I think the Beatles did it better. I think Donovan should stop trying to be like the Beatles.
Okay.
Next.
All right. I think we should always try to be like the Beatles. But
like, it's too derivative. Like,
got
we
it.
Get it.
All right. Let's talk the actual hurdy-gurdy.
Yes.
So that actual hurdy-gurdy is a string instrument that you play with a crank. It's mechanical.
Love
you
it.
Crank it and it plays notes. This is Metallica using Hurdy Gurdy. This is 1997's Low Man's Lyric, played by David Miles, the Hurdy Gurdy.
What is the Hurdy Gurdy? That little like that background?
High.
Like, high background?
New, 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 new. Yeah. Sort of a kind of violinish sort of sound.
This is getting tough, Mark. It is. Because now I'm like, oh, what's even Earth, Wind, and Fire doing there? I'm going to take Earth, Wind, and Fire off my top 5.
Wow.
And I'm putting Metallica in the number 4 spot.
Wow, that's number 4. So you're not bumping Korn.
I'm not bumping Korn yet.
You're
but
replacing
on thin ice.
That surprises me. Okay.
I know.
I prefer the Kalimba by far to the Hurdy Gurdy.
I would ask to listen to them all again, but I don't think we're gonna do that.
We've gone long enough.
I don't think we're gonna do that.
Two more.
Okay.
Soundgarden, 1994 song, Spoon Man.
So good.
The musical Spoons, played by artist the Spoon Man, Seattle street musician.
Now pause. Would you put Soundgarden in this new metal genre?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So Soundgarden situationally would be called grunge because they're a Seattle hard rock band, but their style is variously like alternative rock, progressive metal, other kinds of metal. It's this sort of mixed up style, some punk in there that was happening in the late 80s and early 90s. So this album, Super Unknown,
so good,
is considered kind of a staple of the grunge era. Though what exactly grunge means stylistically is kind of confusing.
Mm.
They're a hard rock band from Seattle.
They're awesome.
And they are awesome, but not definitely not nu metal. It predates nu metal.
Yes.
I would say nu metal borrows a lot from grunge, though. So take a listen. This metallic clicking, sort of like castanets, except metallic. That's the Spoons.
Mm-hmm. I like the song. If I'm judging that specific sound, it kind of stresses me out.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to leave them out of my top five with hesitation. Korn is on the bubble, though.
Okay. Korn's on the bubble. All right. We're going to end with one more. We started this conversation talking about random instruments used in Incubus. We're going to end with Incubus.
Okay.
This is Mike Einziger, the guitarist of Incubus, playing the pipa. We've talked about the pipa before because we were talking about boy instruments and girl instruments.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Chinese lute.
Right.
That I bought thinking was really cool. And then, oh, it's a girl instrument. Enjoy in a certain cultural context, right?
You can be a man and still play a instrument that was coded as girls. And we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about this. Anyways,
get on my soapbox.
This is a pop song using the pipa, played by a member of the band, but also uses the shakuhachi, played by Don Clark. Shakuhachi is a Japanese flute. This is their song, Incubus's song from 2001, Aqueous Transmission.
Floating down.
I like that. It's different from what I thought Incubus was, to hear that as an Incubus song.
Doesn't sound like nu metal.
Yeah,
right?
It does not sound like nu metal. I'm going to put that in the number five spot. Bumping Korn.
Okay.
And I don't think that this is... I'm not satisfied with my top five ranking, I think. I would like to revisit some of them, but just for the nature of this exercise, I think I can live with it.
The top five ranking,
mm-hmm.
I'm also not satisfied with it, but it is what it is.
Mm.
Musical Saw, played by Julian Coster in the Neutral Milk Hotel song In the Aeroplane Over the Sea. Number two, The Ocarina, played by Reg Presley in the Trogs' Wild Thing. Number three, The Celesta, played by Norman Petty in Buddy Holly's Every Day. Number four, the hurdy-gurdy, played by David Miles in Metallica's Low Man's Lyric. And number five, the pipa, played by Mike Einziger, and the shakuhachi, played by Don Clark, in Incubus's Aqueous Transmission. Now, there is a live version, when I was finding these materials to put for this sidetrack, of them doing this song with Einziger playing the pipa, but instead of having a shakuhachi, they have Lizzo playing the flute
part. Shut your mouth.
It felt awesome because listeners, we just recorded an episode a couple weeks ago about Lizzo, and we went on a whole thing about her being a flute player. Let's listen to Lizzo playing, not the shakuhachi. I think the shakuhachi backing track is there, but she's playing honest to goodness flute. And look it up. There's a video of it.
What world exists that Lizzo's on stage with Incubus playing the
shakuhachi? But she's playing the flute.
She's playing flute regular. I love that. I like that better. And in fact, it's making me want to bump them up a little bit, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stick with my list. But let us know if there's comments below wherever you're listening to this. I don't know what you're doing. Let us know your rankings, your top five, or at least your top one.
And this is obviously not an exhaustive list, but I had to stop eventually.
I mean, I think that
it got
was
a little
enough.
Crazy. It took me probably an hour to gather all this stuff.
And also check out Neutral Milk Hotel, because people are not paying attention to that band, and they are very good.
Ukulele covers.
The uke.
Okay, Nicole, let's read the outro credits. I'm going to go first, then you. Go as fast as you can, okay? Nevermind the Music is hosted by me, Mark Papany, and Nicole Vacher. I also produce. please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. Let us know what you think on social media. We're at Never Music Pod on all the major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we'll answer all your burning questions. Thanks for listening. Go!
Never Mind the Music is hosted by me, Nicole Vatcher, and Mark Pompany, who also produces. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we answer all your burning questions. Thanks for listening.
Boom!